The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. And in a moment, we're going to share a little bit about some thoughts Francis Chan has shared recently about the church and the realities of sacredness. Also, later in the hour, evangelist J. John has written a commentary on how would Christ respond to wokeness. Before we get into either one of those, I've got a handful of emails from guys listening saying you made mention of an event and you didn't give any information. So let me just be brief here. My ministry is Kingdom Men's Gathering, or KMG Ministries. We have an event June the 26th at Godspeak Church in Newberry Park. It's a Saturday morning. We have Daryl Strawberry will be speaking there, Pastor Jack Graham from Prestonwood Church in Dallas. Rob McCoy himself, I talked to him the other night, Rob will be speaking there, Pastor Mark Little, Pastor Mike Johnson, and myself. Now, tickets are very limited. It's a small venue. I think we have literally about 200 tickets left, and the venue will be sold out. So go to franksontag.com for information. And our mission statement for this year is engage. It's time to engage the culture. It's not another men's event. I'm just going to be quiet there. So June 26th will be at Godspeak in Newberry Park. Also, I talked about my leadership training that I will be starting through our ministry. That is Thursday, July the 8th, six successive Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. And if you want more information, go to the same website, franksontag.com. And it will be a 6 weeks intensive training on leadership that I will be the primary teacher. Speaking of primary teachers, Francis Chan is a man that has dedicated his life to sharing the Lord and the power of the Bible. And recently, he spoke at a conference about that we need to bring sacredness back to the church. I'm going to read from some of the things he shared in a moment, but previous caller was talking about concerns for people that believe that they are Christian and it's all good and they're going to heaven. Francis shared something a few years ago at a very well-attended event that reminded me of what the caller referenced. I think the caller's name was Jesse. This is Francis Chan from a few years ago.
Last week I was in Dallas and I was speaking in this giant stadium, and the picture came to my mind as I was praying about what to speak. It was the image of these 50,000 people in a giant swimming pool with life vests on. I go, this is what I see right now. It's just a bunch of people with life jackets on, and I cannot tell who can swim and who can't, because you're all being artificially kept afloat, whether it's through your accountability group or your Christian family or your Christian school, you know, or your Christian church, your Christian workplace, you know, your podcast, your Christian music, all these things artificially propping you up. But take that thing off. Let's see if you can swim. You know, let's see what actually is coming from the inside. Like, I don't need all, because you drop me in the middle of nowhere as the only believer there. I'm not going to walk away from Jesus. I'm rooted. I'm grounded. I can swim on my own, you know, because the Spirit won't let me go back into sin. The Spirit won't let me just sit around and play all day and then retire. The Spirit makes me think about the kingdom and about seeking His kingdom first. That's what He does in me. Man, it's time that we challenge people to take off that life jacket and quit being their life jacket Because it's better for them to find out now that they can't swim than to wait in the end, till the end.
Francis Chan from a number of years ago. Recently, Francis spoke at something called Exponentials Reset Summit. And he shared some of his thoughts on sacredness and reverence in the Western Church. Chan shared, as more and more people publicly walk away from the Christian faith, pastors must urge their congregations to have deep personal encounters with God and bring sacredness and reverence back into worship. Chan shared, quote, I'm seeing so many people, friends of mine, who were in ministry, were just saying they don't believe or they're walking away. I don't know if I believe that anymore. Chan said, I think that's crazy. We're seeing people that we look up to, leaders, fall. We're seeing the world look at evangelical Christianity as an absolute joke right now. It's every day. You can just jump on Instagram and someone is saying, I'm not Christian anymore. Chan has a new book out entitled Until Unity. He lamented that there's a lot of Isaiah 29:13 going on in churches and denominations across the country. If you don't know what Isaiah 29:13 reads, it's, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. End quote. Chan said, in other words, it wasn't an encounter with God. He shared that true, lasting faith doesn't come from simply hearing a message, but spending intentional one-on-one time with God. Chan said, don't get away from your own encounter with God. We have to make sure we get people to encounter him and that their fear of God is not just a commandment that was taught to them by us. This is a new season. And all of this, people walking away and fighting and angry about everything and so opinionated, is because they've spent too much time in our presence, in our evangelical talk presence, and not enough time before a holy God and a sacred and reverent, silent and in awe and just recognizing their oneness with him. End quote. Chan shared, to have more unified horizontal relationships in the church, there must be a deeper vertical relationship with the Father. He said, the world is going to get worse. Persecution is going to get worse. And when we're alone with him, is there enough of this awe and enjoyment of him and a fear of him that we know we can survive anything? Chan said, I think this pandemic showed us that there's just way too much of this horizontal going on. And now we're trying to keep these people with us, and it's more like we have to direct people to him. We have to do a better job of bringing sacredness back into our worship. End quote. Recent study found that 43% of millennials said they either don't know, don't care, or don't believe God exists. 16% of millennials believe that when they die, they'll go to heaven. Yet 57% of millennials still call themselves Christians. I'm going to say something I don't think I've ever said on the air. You know, I do this radio program. I just got a little notice. The anniversary of 8 years has come and went. And a lot has occurred in those 8 years. But I will tell you what you hear on the air every day for 2 hours is just a brief indication of what we do through my ministry. We're a 501c3, barely make it month in and month out. I said we have an event on June 26th, but my heart is to teach and preach and live the gospel for men. I'm reading about these millennials. I had a young guy email me the other night, and it broke my heart in one way. He's never had a father. He's asking for guidance and leadership, and we're going to come alongside him and mentor him. But when I think of us as grown men, and we do man camps, and guys give their life to the Lord, and it just crazy, incredible stuff happens. But when a man wakes up to his truth in Christ and understands truly how much God loves him and wants to walk with him through this life, and there is an enemy that will do everything he can to pull you away from God, that would be Satan. When a man has an epiphany, when he realizes, and I'm just speaking of men right now, please, those of you that are women, don't think I'm not including you in this equation. I'm just speaking directly to my ministry and the importance of men being leaders. But when a man has that moment where he gets it and he understands that Jesus is the fulcrum, he's the answer by the power of the Holy Spirit, get ready. You're going to see a life that will be transformed, and a man that will absolutely not kowtow to anything that man would have be said as this is the way you need to live your life. It would only be in Christ and through the power of Christ. And culture right now, we're in a heap of trouble. Part of it is because men don't know who they are, and a whole lot of other things. But I thank God that there are men that are hungry, that understand there's something much deeper going on here. You know, it's like I mentioned the KMG event, and guys have all of this stuff. Oh, it's a men's conference. It's a men event. There was just one there, and oh, there'll be other ones. And if you have an opportunity to really spend time with God, man, what would you do? Right? I think about, I'll say this and then I'll refrain and be quiet. Really, as far as men go, we're pretty weak. We're pretty soft. You think of Jesus' days, and caller was talking about they found stone quarries and how, I mean, you're talking about no cell phones, no distractions for the most part, right? But when you really start scratching who you are and God's purpose for your life, and that he's the answer. I oftentimes share a quote from one of my other first pastors, Pastor Britt Merrick, who said once, God is more willing to speak to us and lead us than we are willing to listen and be led. It's like, wow. Like, you can have access to him right now. It may take you a while to really learn intentionally how to sense his prompts or listen for his guidance. And you just look to the world, man, people are just, they are in dire need of a savior in their life. And then we live in this time of wokeness. Gotta be woke, right? Either you're woke or you're not. Evangelist J. John has written a commentary I want to share with you. If you don't know who J. John is, he's literally a guy that goes around and shares the gospel. He's not a pastor. A few years ago, I had breakfast with him and his wife. My wife and I, we all sat down, and he talked about Just One, a ministry where he went literally into the offices of Arsenal Emirates Stadium in London and said, hey, can I rent out your stadium? And they're like, we rent out the stadium to football players and to rock stars. You don't look like you're either one. He goes, no, I just want to share the gospel. Long story short, they said, they ended up calling him back. He rented out Arsenal Emirates Stadium. Tens of thousands of people showed up, and he shared the gospel. He's been doing this for 40 years. Part of his ability and his anointing is in the area of humor. He's very funny, but can preach the word like very few people I know.
I love Revelation 3, verse 20, where it has the imagery of Jesus knocking on the door of a house. If you hear the knock, open the door, let Jesus in. Come on in. I know we've probably, 99% of us here have done that. Come on in. But where's he gone? You see, it's very easy to say, come on in, and then open a cupboard. Get in there. So you kind of say, he's in, where is he? You know, interesting that the Bible says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. There are three do nots with regard to the Spirit, the breath of God. Don't quench the breath of God. Don't resist the breath of God. Don't grieve the breath of God. So what we've got to do is say, come in. Take him down to the basement to clear out the cobwebs. Take him to the attic to clear out the bats. Come into the sitting room. Come into the dining room. Come into this room. I want you in every area of my life.
Jay John, pretty amazing man, lives in London, and a little bit of a sermon. You can go online to YouTube and watch a lot of his sermons. He weaves in a lot of humor. And so when we come back, I'm going to read a commentary. And I don't know why I was surprised that it was Jay John that weighed into a political issue like wokeness. And he has some things to say about the question, how would Christ respond to wokeness? We'll read that and share that with you. If you have any thoughts or would like to call the program, we have open lines, 888-528-2557. And our email address each and every day is franksontag@kkla.com. And as always, we'll continue with more of this, The Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Now, before we get into Jay John's commentary on how would Christ respond to wokeness, I have to do this. Danny in L.A. has been on hold for, I think, the whole program. And for whatever reasons, he's still there. So I just want to go to Danny in Los Angeles. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank, and I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener way before the days of Frank Pastore. I love your show. And I just wanted to say about, I heard parts of your testimony on the air. I haven't had the chance, honestly, to read your book. And but about the New Age in the emerging church, I just had hope that you were call out these gurus or leaders, founders, because it's a very dangerous thing going on in the church, in the colleges and universities. That's a promote book I read on Chuck Smith's brother, Paul Smith, the New Evangelism. And it clarified a lot of stuff. I mean, information that was so deep with, of course, good resources. But I just didn't hear a lot from you when you say or tell about your testimony about these gurus and these leaders. That, of course, you're the expert in that area, that you would, you know, point it out clear from time to time. I just wanted to hear more about that. That was my question.
I appreciate that. I will honor that and try to keep that in mind. If I may ask you, why, for you, is this such a pressing issue?
Because I think it's one of the number one dangers of the church in the future about colleges and universities going on today. The future, I cry out for the future of our generation that's coming up, mm-hmm. that they're not getting the true inerrancy of the word. They're not just getting it in Sunday school, and a lot of them fall away. Like you said, you were saying earlier about Frank, about your former pastor, people's faith gets shaken, and they walk away.
Yep.
And they're not grounded in the word. And I believe that speaks volumes. You know, that's very powerful that we make sure that we speak the truth and, of course, warn the people to stick to the inerrancy of the Word of God.
Well, Danny, I just want to thank you not only for your patience and your persistence, but also for your example of being a follower of Christ and for being so clear on an issue that I would resonate with you that is of great concern. You used the analogy, and Francis talked about people have a bump in life, not to minimize it, but when we are confronted with a major challenge or a dark season, all of a sudden we're tapping out because we don't know who he is or don't have that experience or relationship with him daily. So thank you for reminding me of that. And I promise you in the coming weeks, I will do everything I can to convey that message in the way in which God would have me do that. So Danny, thank you and God bless you. I think in a roundabout sort of way, the commentary I'm going to read also speaks to Danny's concerns. When evangelist J. John shares his thoughts on how would Christ respond to wokeness, let me read this to you. And again, I don't know if I've seen much of J. John writing commentaries, but this is a powerful one. He writes, people around the globe are discussing the term wokeness. There is much talk of whether people are woke or not. For those who need clarification, to be woke is to be alert to racial or social discrimination and injustice. In many ways, it's an awakening and a movement that seems to be penetrating many corners of our public life. Defining precisely what being woke or wokeness means is complex. Lacking a founder figure, a manifesto, or a governing body, and varying greatly from country to country, wokeness is fluid and can be different things to different people. Equally, there are shades of wokeness. Some people are merely woke-tinged, while others are so deeply woke that it penetrates every aspect of life. J. John writes, so that said, here are a few observations about wokeness. First, there are significant positive aspects of the woke movement. Stay woke has been a watchword for African Americans encouraging others to stay awake to the deceptions and dangers of this world. Being alert or awake to threats could make the difference between life or death and the struggle for racial justice. At the heart of wokeness lies a genuine concern about things that I'm deeply committed to as a follower of Jesus, namely justice and dignity for all human beings. Jesus, the visible God on earth, ushered in his kingdom principles of justice for all people, which were diametrically opposed to the unjust rulers of the day. Jesus began his ministry with a direct commitment to justice. He shared in his first speech in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Again, that's Luke 4:18-19. There's a lot of Christian moral DNA in wokeness. Christian leaders such as William Wilberforce and Martin Luther King Jr. rooted their struggle against racism in the teachings of Jesus. J. John goes on to share, I support the heart of wokeness's dedication to justice and also its speaking out against celebrating individuals in history who were racists. Racism is a grievous sin that contravenes the Judeo-Christian tenet of Imago Dei, and we all need to repent for times when we have got this wrong. We should honestly reevaluate the past and, where appropriate, admit the wrongs of historic figures and repent of historic injustices. Within the good of the movement, I want to offer words of caution. Many thinkers who I know and respect feel that there are real deep-seated and threatening problems in wokeness. They may well be right, but here I simply want to express my own concerns with it. J. John continues, first, I offer a word of caution on the current tone of wokeness. Particularly troubling is the way that wokeness deals with dissenters. People are defined as either woke or not woke in a way that extends far beyond a concern for racial justice, and this shuts down dialogue and the possibility to grow in awareness around other justice issues. Jesus did a lot of listening in his day, especially with people who disagreed with his teachings. Jesus asked questions to help people get to the root of their beliefs. He challenged people with truth, but it was done in a posture of love and compassion, with the hope that the person's eyes and heart would be opened. The posture of the woke movement often leaves no room for discussion. Either you are woke or you're not, and the discussion ends there. It is here that cancel culture, an effort to shame, silence, and sideline an individual or institution because of beliefs or opinions deemed socially unacceptable, intersects with wokeness, which is a whole new form of vindictive exclusion. The divisive tone of wokeness can actually work against the hope that all will be woke. J. John writes, I want all to be awakened to injustice and systemic racism in society. This often involves patience, dialogue, and deep listening. A second word of caution concerns attitudes of wokeness. I find a troubling naivete within the movement with its apparent view that sexism only occurs with men and racism only with white people. The sad reality is that all human beings have a tendency to be unjust toward others. As the Bible says plainly in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that all human beings treat other human beings unfairly. All of us love others inadequately in our personal lives and in our political and communal structures. Studies show that all human beings hold some form of conscious or even unconscious bias. It's part of the fallen and broken world, which goes against God's original design of perfect love for all. We need to acknowledge that division and bias run through every human heart. As I've often said, at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Evangelist J. John goes on to write, my third area of caution is the motives of wokeness. At the heart of the woke movement seems to be a bitter mindset that delights in finding breaches of its moral code. The fuel for wokeness often seems to be anger, something seen not just in violent demonstrations, but in the hunting out and pursuit of offenders. Journalists, executives, celebrities, even preachers increasingly find themselves carefully checking what they write or say, lest those committed to a woke ideology slander them on social media and then at their door. People are tagged as either woke or unwoke and are not seen as whole, complex human beings with moral and immoral biases. This kind of generalization about a person is the very posture wokeness decries. I offer a word of caution on the actions of wokeness. With some justification, wokeness has been criticized for mainly being words and not actions. Certainly, while there's much to be said for evaluating the sins of the past with justice, there's much more to be said for seeking to remedy the sins of the present with grace. Although in theory, I applaud the demands for reparations over past historic injustices, I find them problematic in practice. Let me give you an example. J. John writes, I'm a Greek Cypriot, and over history, Cyprus has been looted, colonized, and oppressed by Romans, Arabs, Turks, and the British. So who do we Cypriots take to court? What is needed is for all to come together in unison to work for a more just society today. We need to repent of the past and then work for a more just society. Followers of Jesus should be on the front lines of speaking out against racism, disparity, and oppression. The message of wokeness calls on all people and the whole of society to treat every human being with love, dignity, and justice, which paradoxically is something they're not doing. This reconciling message lies at the very heart of God, exemplified in the person of Jesus. In this sense, we all should be awakened, and we also need to acknowledge that there are significant aspects missing in the woke movement. Jesus' final prayer was that his followers would all be one human race, one human family, one church. This requires speaking the truth in love and an abundance of patience and grace. Ultimately and finally, then, J. John writes, feel that wokeness needs to be greeted by wariness. Although there is much good found in it, I cannot help but sense that at its heart lies an aching void. The concept of being woke is an attempt to create moral boundaries, but without God. It offers only a bleak and hopeless world in which a stern and constantly shifting morality subjects all to a judgment from which there can be no redemption or restoration. Far more preferable is the Christian message which, while it points out our deepest moral failings, offers us through Christ both pardon and a changed life. Ultimately, wokeness needs both real grace and true forgiveness, and only God can give us that. Seems to me that for all its focus on the problem of injustice, wokeness offers no solution. But supposing there is a solution. Supposing there was a perfect being, a man perhaps, who utterly undeserving of any judgment, willingly became the victim of injustice and was subject to mockery and torture and brutality and ultimately death, so that having taken injustice on himself, he might offer forgiveness to all who sought it. Is it possible that at the deepest level, wokeness points us to the cross of Jesus Christ? You can find that entire commentary at ChristianHeadlines.com, written by J. John. One that I would hope you read and reread and pray about and spend quiet time with. 888-528-2557. We'll come back with some calls. Sean in Los Angeles will be my first. I've got some other stories as well. And much more of the Frank Sontag Show is next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In this segment, I hope and plan on covering a few topics in the news. There is a New Jersey University students are rallying against mandatory vaccines. Facebook has shut down a page simply that asks for prayer for Israel. And then last week, something I've not addressed yet, the Biden administration is upset and it's slamming Texas's latest litigation, or I should say legislation, as it applies to abortion and passing of what they call the heartbeat bill. Also have an audio clip I'm going to play in a moment that is very powerful about getting the shot. But let me go to Sean in Los Angeles. Sean, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Okay, hello.
Hi, Sean.
You know, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. I said hello.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure you hear me. Okay, It's hard for me to listen to you sometimes concerning racism because you're seeing it through an eyeglass as a white male, and that's privilege.
Time out. Hold on. I just want to understand you. So as a white person, I cannot experience racism at all?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue. I just want to understand you. Go ahead.
I said you can't understand it as a white male. Unless you are a black male or a black woman or a female or a black individual in America to have experienced the embedded. It's so embedded.
So, again, you misunderstood my question.
If I can finish, then you may have a clearer understanding of what I'm trying to say. It's been so embedded. We didn't have an opportunity to be able to have the same rights of justice as another white counterpart. We had to forgive. We had to know God and the beauty of his holiness, or we would have died. We would have just checked out of life because there was a lot of things and a lot of hurts. And a lot of hurts that were done, and nothing was done about it. That's where you may see the anger. However, when people say all lives matter, we know all lives matter. But if our lives matter like all lives matter, it wouldn't have been a Black Lives Matter. That's the point where you guys sometimes, I think, get very insensitive concerning that. I am a woman of God. I'm a woman of prayer. I'm a woman of forgiveness, and I believe forgiveness 70 times 7 a day. But we also have to stay in the truth of where everybody doesn't think like you and I. And we are in a systemic government that has mistreated Black Americans in America.
Okay, let me respond. Hold on. Let me respond. You've talked for 2.5 minutes. The country that we live in is not a racist country. That doesn't mean, let me finish. I listened to you for 2.5 minutes. Listen to me for a moment. That doesn't mean people don't experience racism. If the country was racist, all blacks would experience racism as they did under slavery, the Black Codes, and Jim Crow. We're not living in the past anymore. There has been a lot of change. Does more change have to occur? Absolutely. Last point. I asked you a question you must have misunderstood. I asked you, as a white man, are you telling me that I can't experience racism? Maybe you didn't understand. I happen to also believe I can experience racism as a white man. I've been judged for the color of my skin more in the last year than the previous 65 years of my life. And I'll leave it at that. I appreciate your call. We can have more of a conversation another time. I've got a lot to get to in a short time. When it comes to vaccines, I saw this actually on my best friend's Instagram page, Pastor Mark Little. This kind of speaks for itself.
The coronavirus is killing people, right? And the vaccine is supposed to help cure that, keep that from happening. Yet the vaccine is free. You're getting donuts, you're getting weed, you're getting money, you're getting burgers, you're getting fries. Now in Las Vegas, you can get a free lap dance, a bottle, and a membership to a strip club. And again, the virus is deadly and the cure is free. Look at all of these other deadly ailments we have. And so many people die because what? They can't afford to pay for healthcare, or they can't afford to pay for treatment. They don't get nothing for free. So why is everything so free right now for this vaccine? That's my question. What's your answer?
Very good question. And I'd love to maybe pursue that another time. I don't know the man who, I don't know him personally, if you will. But I will tell you, he is, and maybe many of you know who he is, and I'm just pleading ignorant. His name is Dr. Dave of, I can't read the rest here. Dr. Dave of Mojo. There you go. Wise words from Dr. Dave. Speaking of vaccines, hundreds of Rutgers University students and their parents held a rally to speak out against the school's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for students. Event was in response to their new requirement introduced in March that all students enroll for in-person classes for 2021 fall semester have to be vaccinated. While the university's faculty and staff aren't required to get vaccinated, Rutgers Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Antonio Calcato has strongly urged them to receive the vaccine. Quote, we're committed to creating a safe campus environment in the fall of 2021 and support the health and safety of all members of the Rutgers community. University's position on vaccines is consistent with the legal authority supporting this policy. New Jersey Assemblyman Jerry Scharfenberger spoke at the rally, warned that every time people pull back some sort of freedom, even if only temporarily, it's gone. Quote, allowing them to mandate vaccines to get into Rutgers University is a slippery slope, he said. They're going to keep moving the goalposts until they dictate every aspect of your life, end quote. Medical community weighs in. COVID-19 vaccines have been proven safe and effective, says Brian Strom, Chancellor of Rutgers Biomedical and Health Sciences. However, other members of the medical community have a different perspective. Dr. Hooman Norshazam, a physician scientist, sent an open letter to Rutgers warning of a potential safety risk of the COVID-19 vaccine. He said natural immunity can be developed through contracting COVID-19, and the percentage of naturally infected individuals could be higher in the population of college-age people. Quote, some experts believe that natural immunity may even be more robust than vaccine immunity, but at least equally effective. He advised that naturally immune students should be excluded from mandatory vaccinations. Quote, indiscriminately vaccinating persons with recent COVID infections pose a risk of clinical harm. There have been some very prominent young deaths following vaccination. It's becoming clear that adverse event reaction rates are higher in the previously infected, end quote. It's more to the story. You can find the entire article at the Epoch Times, and it's about a rally at Rutgers University. Maybe we'll revisit more of that tomorrow. We hope and pray that you will join us tomorrow for more of this program. And if you would like to share any of your thoughts in a confidential email, you can do so at franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.